Paul Meredith in for a kōrero today. Now, Paul's an interesting guy. He's had involvement with Ngāti Maniapoto. He has whakapapa lines too as well. Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision. But he also has degrees in law, Māori studies, and has been a researcher as well. You might have heard us have a kōrero the other day with Ninaia Mahuta, and this was to speak of a kaupapa involving a very intricately woven kaitaka arunui that has returned to Aotearoa after being away for, well, I think over a century. And Dr. Rangi Te Kanawa, a conservator, helped to facilitate its return from England, as did many others, including Kawhia Murahi, who we'll get to talk to as well. But Paul Meredith, with his capacity to access historical information, helped to identify some of the story behind the kaitaka arunui, and Paul's kindly with us for a kōrero today. Tēnā koe, Paul.
Tēnā koe.
It's great to have you on the program, Paul. Okay, and I know you don't want to take credit for the return, but you know you had a role to play in it, and some of that was involving the provenance of the kaitaka arunui. You've had a chance to see it now, maybe touch it. I don't know if you touched it, Paul, but you know when you glanced upon it for the first time, well, what feelings did it bring?
Oh, it was just an absolute privilege to be there at that moment when it was sort of unveiled and, you know, then in the VMA with people like Dr. Rangi Te Kanawa and way she went and was bringing out all her technical expertise. It's been overseas, in England for 130 years. I asked Rangi sort of estimated that it's been woven in sort of around 1850s. I said, oh, how do you do that? And she said, oh, look, here's some Berlin Wall up the back here, and that was sort of here in New Zealand circa 1845. So it was just to have her there too, and her expertise was just a privilege to be there. It was a really moving moment for all of us that were there. Unfortunately, only a few could be there because of COVID and the capacity of the room, but yeah, it's a real honour, and I was lucky that I'm sort of based here in Wellington, so yeah.
We're used to seeing some taonga repatriated from museums globally, Paul. I'm assuming this was in a private collection. We might speak of those who held it in their care. Was it well looked after, mate?
Ah, so it was an amazing condition. That's what Rangi was amazed at. That's the condition that it was in. It was in a cupboard. So when we heard about it, you know, we heard it was in a cupboard. The family said they found it in a cupboard belonged to Elizabeth Grice, and so my immediate interest was in how are we going to link this to kaitaka, this woman, Elizabeth Grice, to Rewe Maniapoto, because there was a tag on the kaitaka, it was a gift, you know, from Rewe Maniapoto after the Rat of Orako, after peace was made. So I immediately started dwelling into the archives in terms of the family Grice. And I couldn't find this Elizabeth Grice, but what I did find was a man called John Grice, who came into the area around in the sort of mid-1870s. He lived out at Rotorangi there. He had interest in land at Pukekura. And so this is Rotorangi is about 15 k's from sort of Kiki, was sort of domiciled on the other side of the Puni River there, Te Waiarufi. So I was interested in this John Grice. Now, he had a daughter called Sarah Elizabeth Grice. It's Sarah Elizabeth Grice, who changed her name in 1944 to Elizabeth Grice, and so this was Elizabeth Grice. Now, John actually came into quite a significant inheritance in 1889, some £60,000 to £70,000, which is about $7 million in today's money. So they actually return home in 1891. They go back to England, and, of course, they take this kaitaka with them. And in terms of the relationship of John Grice with Rewe Maniapoto, I was looking through papers past, and I see that John Grice had a number of interactions with Rewe. He would come over to Kiki. When Tawhia came out of the to King Country, or to Nehe Nehe Nui, and did his first tour of Waikato, post the Waikato Wars. From Kiki, he goes to Cambridge, but there was a company, but they actually stay at John Gross's house. So they had, John Gross had, the family had this relationship with these rangatira. So yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that, well, it's not definitive proof, but it's definitely puts John proximity to the area and this relationship that they had with Mary. So yeah, it's amazing.
It is, and you're using all your historical research now to join the dots. Good on you. And I know that many were involved in its repatriation, and indeed, having that expertise, as you speak of, with Orangi Te Kanawa, to acknowledge the fine work involved here. Chiefly man gets chiefly work done. Normally, we have to buy these artefacts back. What happened that the whānau who held them in England for 130 years, did we have to square them up, or did they gift it back? What was the story there, Paul?
Yeah, there's some private negotiations that happened, and other people are better to talk about that. Kawhi is better to talk about that.
Okay, good to buy. Good to
the
buy.
Involvement of seven people. But yeah, I mean, we're just glad it's come back. I can remember a few years going across to London, and we contacted the British Museum and said, hey, you know, we'd love to look at in the back there at some of your taonga māori. So we were, said, we'll come to this building. It wasn't actually at the British Museum. We went into this room. There's a few of us from Victoria University, and there was just all these taonga, all these greenstone sort of laid out. The provenance was pretty good. There was media there from Te Rauparaha and other rangatira, but yeah, just amazing, and also a bit sad about the amount of taonga that's overseas there in these various institutions.
Well, and some of these artefacts were sort of artistic curiosities for collectors of those early arrivees here in Aotearoa. So, you know, what's special to us was just a bit of a curiosity to them, I suspect.
Yeah, artifacts is actually the wrong word.
Hitonga. Fair enough. I take the point as well, mate. Oh, well, look, it's nice to be involved in a sort of kōrero like that, Paul Meredith. Your day-to-day work, though, involves you looking at historical matters. How satisfying is it to you to sort of work in this space, a space that not too many people delve into on a regular basis?
It's an absolute privilege. I mean, we have an amazing collection of taonga, audio-visual taonga. I've got my mother in the other room looking at some old footage from, she was born in Tikawiri, and she's looking at a documentary there, and she's going, oh, there's Auntie so-and-so, and there's Auntie so-and-so, and there's Uncle. And so, you know, and we're actually really committed to trying to reconnect whānau with the taonga that we hold in hapū and iwi, and we're working with a number of iwi and marae and whānau. What's really holding us back is just our capacity. But, you know, I think once we've got a massive project, which is the digitisation of at least 75% of the Crown collection, that you Waka Huia programs, I've been watching a lot of Koha programs, and just amazing mātauranga māori, and we're really keen to make that accessible in an appropriate way, recognising the kaitiaki of that mātauranga to as many whānau as possible. We've got a big project at the moment, the Tangata Whenua series, which was from 1974. It was six episodes broadcast on TV1, or was that maybe one channel in those days, but we've also got 100 hours of unedited footage, which we want to reconnect whānau with. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting work in a privilege, actually.
Well, for those of you listening today, Paul's at Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision. Paul, would you suggest if people haven't, then delve into the richness of the taonga that you are holding on behalf of us all? There are some accessibility issues to certain things, but for the most part, what's in there is available to all. It really is a taonga in its own right, isn't it?
Yes, we actually only have about 1% of our collection online, and so we're going to work with iwi on that. It might be that we have it on our database, or it might be that we're sending it back to iwi for them to share through their own sort of social media web pages. So yeah, but what we've got online is amazing, you know, and I'd really encourage people to go online. It's just ngātaonga.org.nz, search our collection, and you'll find some amazing taonga to listen to and watch.